بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به ثمرات مختلفا ألوانها Life is sustained by water. If there is water, there is life. And there's no water, then that's the termination of life. So everything depends on water for its continuity, for its sustainability, and for its goodness. So Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, أَخْرَجْنَا بِثَمَرَاتٍ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا. With the coming of the rain, you see the vegetation, you see everything coming up, plants, crops, all coming up. And coming up with a variety of colors, some green, some red, some orange, some pink, some black, right? So the whole variety of colors and everything is springing up. Then in these plants you will find different levels of properties and benefits, goodness. There'll be some plant that just 1 gram will cost over 200 rands. Saffron, right? And there will be other plants that are also coming from the same land, but you'll pay someone to throw it away, pick it out, weeds, etc., pull it out and throw it away. But then you look at the nature of these both, watered by the same water and fed by the same ground, but a world of a difference between one and the other. Then the same differences you will find min al-nasi wa al-dawabi wa al-anam, man, animals, etc. You'll find the same difference, different colors, different functions, and accordingly the values would be different. If it's an animal, it's a horse, and it's very well trained, you can pay up to 5 million for one horse. It's very, very well trained. And the one that is untamed, raw, then the owner will pay you to take it away. This is uncontrollable, you can't manage it. So, and man also will find the same, that one has gone through a training, he's gone through some type of a discipline, so his value is totally different. Sometimes one session will cost you up to 1 million rands just to employ the person for one session. And the other person is not worth anything. He's totally dependent. He's not worth anything. So you'll find these variances in man as well. But most of these things that we are talking about is more material related. But there is a valuation in the spiritual realm as well. And in a Muslim's life, the more important thing is the spirituality than the material. Because مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ, whatever you have, whatever material, is coming to an end. No matter what empire, what investments, whatever it is, it's coming to an end. And it is just deception. It's just a deception of the eye. The eye has been attracted and you add some attachment to it. Otherwise, it's just an there's nothing more than a deception of an eye. How you understand the deception is, let your body or the body of the wealthiest person, most influential person, right? Bill Gates, right? His body lying here. And then put all the money there near his body. Is it worth anything to him now, at that moment? So at that moment, he's worth absolutely nothing. That money means absolutely nothing to him. The contacts, the power, the influence, the publicity, all that he had, everything is gone, finished. So that wealth and that material is just a deception of the eye. And fortunately, that person whom فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ, Allah Ta'ala cleared his eye from that deception. He is fortunate. But now, the question is that when the more important thing is the spirituality, then there must be some way, because that's the criterion, that's the gauge. So there must be some way that we go up, we ascend. If something is missing, we know it or we don't know it, or we heard about it and we're not applying ourselves. So there must be something that brings about the value. Because you just have one opportunity to just elevate your value. Just one opportunity. You don't get a second chance. The person that is thrown into Jahannam, he will say, أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. So Allah bring us out and give us a second chance. We'll do something, not the wrong that we were involved in. We'll do something good. Make some proper arrangements and preparations. But then it's too late. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. At that time, the reply will be, but we gave you sufficient time to ponder, to reflect, to understand. مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Sometimes it was white hair that appeared. Sometimes it was age that appeared. Sometimes it was weakness that came in. Sometimes you had attended a janazah. Sometimes you had lowered someone in the grave. Sometimes you saw prosperity. Sometimes you saw adversity. Sometimes you saw health. Sometimes you saw sickness. So you saw all these things there. So now you saw the whole cycle of life. When you saw the whole cycle of life, then two your eyes didn't open. Now there's no further chance. So Malakul Maut at that time would say, see, I'm here and I won't depart without taking you away. And your influence and affluence means nothing to me. It was just a deception. You put your heart to it, you put your mind to it, you put your soul to it, but now you realize, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ. Now you're seeing things in perspective, but now it's too late. But now we have got this one opportunity, then how to maximize that when we are on that side, when we moved on, then we have no regrets. So that's the question that every person should be asking, all right, what do I do? And how do I maximize with this one opportunity that Allah Pak has blessed me? So wherever there is a crisis, wherever there is a problem, then the Quran Sharif will show you a solution. But just that, you have to search for it. So in the coming verse, Allah Pak says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَىٰ. It is those people that know about Allah Ta'ala, they have the real khashiyat. So the thing to invest in is khashiyat. Now khashiyat, what does it mean? Khashiyat means that you hold the being in that level of awe, majesty, magnanimity, splendor, love, right? That you find it extremely difficult, in fact close to impossible, to then defy him. Because you hold him in that magnanimity, that level, that majesty, that splendor, that you find it absolutely difficult to go against him. Like if your respected father was here, right? He was here and you held him in esteem. Now he's gone. But he was around, right? So in his presence, could you use one abusive language? Couldn't use it. Why? You held him in that esteem, in that respect, in that magnanimity. Even if you're worked up, then you won't use anything that's insulting, abusive, or wrong. So similarly, you hold Allah Ta'ala in that level of esteem that it prevents you from any disobedience. أَقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعَاسِكَ. Allah Ta'ala grant us that level of khashyat that it becomes a barrier between us and your disobedience. At any given time, we hold you in that esteem. So this khashyat that we are speaking about, the more the person has got that khashyat, then he is closer to Allah Ta'ala. His understanding of Allah Ta'ala is proportionate to his khashiyat. How do you work this out? You work it out like this. One is a person that knows about the biography of businessmen. He knows, for example, how paper money was introduced. First bartering, then gold and silver, and then paper money, how it was introduced. He knows all that. He doesn't know how to turn money, how to generate income. He doesn't apply himself, and nor does he know how to make money. So you'll say that he's got the information, but he's not a knowledgeable person. So when the Quran Sharif speaks about a knowledgeable person, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاء, that those, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاء, who are the possessors of khashiyat? The possessors of khashiyat are those who know about Allah Ta'ala. Those who know of Allah Ta'ala, they'll have the khashiyat. Like you may have all the knowledge of wealth, but now you don't know the power and the clout of size. So, can you say that you have the knowledge? You don't have it. You don't know what power is what. You have the knowledge of a little bit of finance, right? But you don't have the understanding of SARS, you don't have the understanding of the police, their force, their might, their clout, you don't have it. So will you say that that person has the knowledge? You know, he's got some information, a lot of information he's got, all heaped up on his desk, right? But he doesn't know the gravity of that information, the application, then you don't call him a knowledgeable person. So the knowledgeable person is the one who's got the understanding of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, the power of Allah Ta'ala, the compassion of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala for his servants. He knows it. And then he applies himself. He's got the understanding and he applies himself, and you see that that person has got khashiyat. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So this verse doesn't restrict that khashiyat. It doesn't restrict the khashiyat to an alim or an official mullah, no. But it shows the distinct feature of a person who's got knowledge. What is a distinct feature? That he must be distinguished in the aspects of khashiyat. So anything of Allah Ta'ala will really shake his heart. It will shake him up. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When they hear of Allah Ta'ala, then their hearts are gripped with fear. Zadatum imana, and it increases the iman. So that is the person whose heart is filled with khashiyat. So in the mention of Allah Ta'ala, then he may be an ordinary person, but when he's got this khashiyat, then his whole response, his reaction will be different, totally different. Bishr Hafi Rahmatullah Ali was a saint of his time. He was not a reputable alim as such, but the most reputable person in his zamana was Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi. Imam Ahmad is a ustad of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, and he's an imam of fiqh and jurisprudence, and he's also an imam on hadith. But the like of Imam Ahmad, that you can't find in the world, he used to refer to Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi. So they asked Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi, but you're an imam, you are excelling in other branches of deen, but then we see you referring to Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi. So what is the need? Why do you refer to him? So Imam Ahmad's straight answer was, you see, we have acquired the word of deen. We have acquired the word. But he has got the knowledge of the person who spoke this word. That is Allah Ta'ala. We have got the knowledge of the word. And he's got the knowledge of the speaker. He's got the knowledge of the person, of the being. I got the knowledge of the word. But he's got the knowledge of the being. He's got the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. He knows Allah Ta'ala. Like, I don't know. He understands the splendor of Allah Ta'ala, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, the compassion of Allah Ta'ala. Like, none of us have. He has it. And you can see from his behavior, his ways, etc., that his understanding of Allah Ta'ala is totally different. So, in the same Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi, in his early days, in his youth, he was onto alcohol, etc., drunkard, right? But at any given time, this respect had not left his heart. The respect, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala had not left his heart. And in this age and time, when we look around, then the world is starving for khashyat, for understanding respect, understanding the greatness. Like you're coming to the masjid, what is the respect that is supposed to be shown when coming to the masjid? How do we dress up? How do we conduct ourselves? What do we do? What do we avoid? The masjid, the precincts of the masjid, we make a shout, we do scream there, and talk, and disrupt the very function of the masjid. So if we hold the being, that means the one of the masjid, the king of the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our whole attitude will change. I'm sitting in the presence of Allah ta'ala. I can't sit how I'm sitting in my lounge. I can't be behaving like how I sit in my lounge, no. I'm sitting here in the presence of Allah ta'ala, it's His house. So my whole approach must be different. I'm coming towards the house of Allah ta'ala. Then my whole approach, I can't be casual, smoking a cigarette, throwing it down, joking with my satis. I'm coming to the house of Allah ta'ala with what respect I must come. So that is the person who's got that khashiyat. He's at a different level altogether. If it is some farz, some obligation that is being executed, then his response is different. He sees the month of Ramadan, the respect that he has, the time that he'll give in the masjid, will be different altogether. He sees a Muslim, he understands that there's iman in his heart, right? And what type of respect I should be showing to him? I won't discredit him. I won't smash him down. I won't disgrace him. I won't make a publicity of his wrong. I won't do that. Because I know the iman that he's got in his heart. I'm at the Baytullah. And what must I do at the Baytullah? Is my work there to snap around? Or I must be afraid? مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ How must I conduct myself in the precincts of the house, the most sacred spot in the entire world, right? And one is a person is just going there, a little bit of a entertainment, having a break, and coming back. So he doesn't get the maximum benefit. He'll go, yes, his umrah is done, or whatever else is done, but he doesn't maximize. He went for a small break, he went there, came back, Allah Ta'ala reward him for that. But he won't get the maximum reward. But now the person that really understands what it is, the house of Allah Ta'ala, the most central spot, the Qibla of the Muslim, whilst you're alive and whilst you're dead, it's your Qibla, his whole response is totally different. So now we talk to you of this Imam Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi and his beginning. But his heart was not bereft, was not void of the khashiyat. Though he fell into some bad habits, but now he started off like this just by respect. He saw a piece of paper, and the paper had an inscription of Bismillah, the name of Allah Ta'ala. So he felt very upset, the name of Allah Ta'ala, and it's lying down on the floor, what do I do? So he picked it up straight. It may seem to be a small act, but now the respect that he had in his heart for Allah Ta'ala and for the name of Allah Ta'ala, that is something to think about. So he picks it up, he cleans that paper, he's got some money in his pocket, he buys some ether, applies it, and places it in a respectable place, in a respectable manner. That very night, Allah Ta'ala appears in his dream, says, Bishr, you have honored us. From this day, we will bring honor to you. But you see this khashyat, this holding in esteem. So anything of deen, and what esteem we hold, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a masjid, whether it's a Quran Sharif, whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a trip to Hajj or Umrah, whether it's zakat that we are discharging. So that respect. The one that has got the respect in the heart, then his discharging of zakat is different. One is, he doesn't understand khashiyat. And the one is, he's got khashiyat. So when he is discharging his zakat, he will do it with a lot of respect. He said, this person is a recipient of my faras. See, the masjid is the place where I will fulfill my faras. So I respect it. So this is the person where I fulfill my faras. So when he's a person that I fulfill my faras on, then I need to hold him in esteem, see, respect. So in every act of deen, that deeny work will be supported with a lot of respect, a lot of muhabbat, and a lot of concern. and am I doing it right? Allah Ta'ala as far as I'm executing it correctly or not. Otherwise, the whole deen just becomes like a formality, a motion, going through the motion, came to the masjid, and then left the masjid, kaise aaye or kaise ja rahe, how are you coming and how are you leaving, it just becomes a formality. So Allah Ta'ala give us the true understanding of this khashiyat.